Until 2015, I had never dated an economist. Let's be honest, no one talks about the hot economist unless he's this guy.
We seem to have smart missiles and smart bombs, but particularly inane political elites.
This is Yanis Varoufakis, the ex-finance minister of Greece. Before Yanis was the dude who rode off into the sunset on the back of his Harley after flipping the bird to the EU, I was already interested in dating his kind. I work in the arts, and I'm anxious about the increasing financialization of everything. My world doesn't work like this. I often do things that don't make sense in a typical market economy. But I work hard, and I know how to operate a spreadsheet. But why does everything of value have to end up on a spreadsheet? What about love? Does that have a spreadsheet too? So in 2015, I traveled to America and Europe specifically to go on a series of dates with economists and called it an art project. The rules were simple. They chose the restaurant and I paid for the meal. And in exchange, I got to road test some ideas about the perceived differences between art and economy. An extraction of their surplus value, if you like.
This is my favorite. Let's put it next to you. It's really, really good.
So what is this?
That's pomegranate.
Meet Jonathan Nitzan, really a professor in the Department of Political Science at York University, Toronto. He wasn't so sure.
Before I say anything, if you can explain to me where you're coming from, first, who is going to listen to this? And secondly, how did you come across this project and why did you choose to talk to me?
Art and economy are considered strange bedfellows. The hard, masculine, rational economic dude and the soft, feminine, touchy-feely artist. These stereotypes shit me to tears. If economists aren't supposed to have an imagination, then how can they run a thing as big as an economy? I don't think they should be put in charge of anything, let alone the economy. And if artists are too dreamy to think about money matters, then how are they going to pay their rent? Both the artists and the economists are involved in the business of value creation. In different ways, both artists and economists speculate and determine the value of things. On the economic side, the value chain is demonstrated with fancy equations and sophisticated pie charts. On the art side, we also like to use symbols and patterns and signs to create value, like paintings and choreography and weird installation art. Economics doesn't like to think so, but their theories and equations are actually a kind of storytelling. And like all good fiction, it tries to convince you that these things are true. In Volume 3, Marx states that all capital is fictitious. He is referring to what we call bonds and securities, promises of a future claim to something of value, or in its most basic form, currency, which used to be attached to actual gold reserves but now mostly floats free, untethered in a nebulous minefield of algorithms and promises of exchange. And whilst currency represents money, they are not the same thing. Money is imaginary and unreal, whilst currency is printed or minted and exists in tangible form. But both are essentially representations of an idea and rely on trust, or the suspension of disbelief. Smells a little bit like art to me. Economics is often accused of having physics envy. It aspires to the condition of science and the world of hard evidence and reason. But as we all know, economics is largely based on prediction. It is highly speculative. The problem is, who's doing the speculating and what for? When artists engage in speculation, it is done in the realm of the make-believe. The problem with economists is that their speculation has real world consequences.
If people come to understand that this is like a science, they would see the logic of our side.
Meet Philip Murovsky. By the time I arrived in Indiana, in America's Midwest, I was ready for a hearty steak and a free-ranging conversation about neoliberalism and sociopaths. Philip is a professor of economics at Notre Dame University, Indiana, and the author of Never Let a Good Financial Crisis Go to Waste, one of the best titles of a book ever. Over dinner, we pretty much solved all the world's problems.
You know, like commons, anything that's in a commons. That's been totally undone now by them.
Right.
I mean, it can't exist the way that it used to.
So, that's what's happened, right? With anything, the terrain has radically altered.
Right.
It has changed human subjects. Human subjects think about themselves in different ways.
Exactly.
Technology has changed.
Right.
The way that we...
As you can tell, we pretty much agreed on everything.
How we interact as humans...
Recently, economics seems to have jumped on the fun wagon with words like experience economies and social capital and creative industries. And the artist as pin-up boy for a neo-bohemian revolution of feel-good social enterprise and authenticity seems to be taking center stage.
The artists have to imagine something entirely different. I think at least some people understand now that what happened is that neoliberalism has the ability to kind of reprocess bohemianism into its own account of what a human being is, so that you could feel like you were being a rebel. But really, the story that's being told is you're being an entrepreneur yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking these incredible risks, you know, that because that's the only thing that makes life worth living, not, you know, the quiet life of the regular salaried person, blah, 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 blah.
Well, now you can...
But in fact, that becomes...
Dating is usually always an awkward encounter. It's hard to predict how it will go. So this must be especially difficult for the economist. I wanted my subjects slightly outside of their comfort zone. I wanted to be the woman who was calling all the shots, who paid for the bill. I allowed them to choose the restaurant, but everything else was in my control. Well, almost everything.
I'm pretty easy, whatever you want to do.
I met Brett Scott at a pub near Brixton. Brett Scott is what you call a finance hacker. He hacks into the logic of finance to make it accessible to others. He wrote a book called The Heretic's Guide to Global Finance, and as I got to know him, it made sense that he would take me out to his favourite hamburger joint. Along the way, he tried to convince me that finance people are people too. I listened with intensity as Brett dissected all the different breeds of finance dudes on the floor, from the traders who represent the absolute bastion of self-interest to the aristocracy of the merchant bankers who behave more like gentlemen serial killers. By the time we got to our third date, well, that wasn't exactly part of the plan. I think it was about here when he was describing his immersive process.
What I was doing was more like a immersive experience around trying to explore and internalize systems of power.
Humans are messy creatures, and there are some things that don't fit neatly on a spreadsheet. The body has a complex emotional machinery which can become a battleground for the rational mind. Neuroscience is moving towards understanding our cognitive functions, discovering cool stuff like how our gut is actually a second brain. There are many things we just don't understand, and there are also things that we understand in multiple different ways. These are some of the reasons why humans make art.
Yeah.
What's with the foie gras?
Oh, I was looking at that.
Steve Keane is a professor and head of the School of Economics, History and Politics at Kingston University in London.
Like if you had to describe your field.
Well, one part is trashing mainstream economics. That's a whole field in itself, thank you.
Dating economists felt a little bit like an experiment to play my gender and embody the intangible, messy, complicated things that can sometimes escape. The things that cannot be planned for, that sometimes cannot be controlled. I wanted to literally embody some of these ideas, and so I wore an electric blue lycra dress to each date. I may have been inspired by French philosopher Françoise Léotard, whose name gave both form to lycra and to a book called Libidinal Economy. This is a batshit crazy text, but it introduced the concept of a political economy having a sex drive. I'm not sure I got much more out of it, except that all transactions and exchanges occur through the social body, which can be traced back to the libidinal drive. This makes sense when you think about desire and production. Either way, I looked hot.
They're not bad people, but I mean, there is an extent to which economists are socially dysfunctional.
Yeah.
You know, the dominant ones, if they can swallow that stuff, there's got to be something awkward about you. Most of them. You know, I'm being a bit heavy-handed here. I know some of my nicest friends are economists, but majority of them,
there is so much about life that exceeds the limits we place around it. Life is about chance, serendipity, intuition, and disruptions to normal programming. Despite our familiar patterns and rhythms and menstrual cycles, just when you think everything's going to plan, you look down and you realise you've bled right through your snug-fitting electric blue lycra dress and right through to the expensive French chintz embroidered upholstery chair. And even when you think a hand dryer is a compulsory unit for any modern bathroom, turns out it's not. Like I said, the body can be a messy, unpredictable thing. At the end of each date, after a hearty meal and some very good-looking conversation, I paid for the amount on the bill. But this quantity of money fails to capture the real value of the gesture. There are some things that don't fit on a spreadsheet, that refuse to be measured with big sticks or bean counters. Life has a tendency to sometimes exceed and escape all our best intentions and well-made plans. But still, we can't help but speculate. This is human too. Perhaps if economists and artists went on more dates together, we might be able to redesign a world based on shared abundance and meaningful activity beyond the cancerous model of jobs and growth. As someone I would have loved to have dated once said, "Not everything that can be counted counts, and not everything that counts can be counted."